Blog Talk Radio.
Your awareness to move upward to the top of your head. This is the crown chakra or Sahasrara, meaning the thousand petal lotus flower. Breathe in the golden light of the thousand petal lotus and feel your oneness with all of creation. This chakra relates to unbounded awareness, beyond time, beyond space and causality. This is the seat of divine consciousness, where the sphere, the process of seeing, and the scenery merge. You are the lover, the process of loving, and the beloved. When this chakra is open and balanced, you will feel clarity in thought and purpose. Your personal intentions and desires are in alignment with cosmic will. As you continue to breathe in the color gold, be aware of the infinite silence. The mantra for the thousand petal lotus chakra is Om. Silently repeat the mantra, Om.
Welcome, family. This is Monique Nubia Sunshine coming to you this evening as we cap off our education on learning the seven chakras. It has been a wonderful journey, and this is the beginning of us knowing and learning about our chakras. As tonight we talk about the crown chakra. I'm going to give a disclaimer, as I always do, in case we get disconnected. Please stay on the line. We've been having technical difficulties across the board. So please bear with me. If that happens, stay on the line, and I will jump back in on the call. But in the meantime, we're going to think positive. We're going to think positive about staying connected this evening. I'm so glad to be able to bring this particular chakra to you this evening. This is an important one, as well as all of them being important, but this is the seventh chakra called our crown chakra, and it is at the top, located at the top of our heads. That's why it's called the crown chakra. It's a interesting chakra, as it is has a lot of similarities to our third eye chakra, and it is the top of our spiritual center. It is our is the seat of our soul, the seat of who we are, our true self, our spiritual self. So I'm just going to read to you a little bit about the crown chakra, and so you can get a better understanding. Okay, what we're going to learn this evening is what your crown chakra does without your health, what your crown chakra represents for your body, your mind, and your spirit, how to tune into your crown chakra, and how to correct crown chakra blockages and overloads, And we're just going to discuss, have open discussion about it. So I hope you all are ready to have discussion. I know there are plenty of people who are taking notes and learning, doing their own secondary education about the chakras. I just want to remind folks that in the way that I am coming to you is based on my knowledge and based on my education in learning the chakras as a Reiki practitioner, as a healer, and as someone who utilizes and working in my chakras or constantly thinking about my chakras on a daily basis. So it is on you to get any extensive information as it relates to deities and other spiritual aspects of it, the Tree of Life, which I will talk about in another show, but just other angles of it, the comedic chakras, as they are the same in some instances, but they can vary in the context of what they are from a comedic standpoint. Also, there are beyond seven chakras, but what we're focusing on is on the basic, because I know plenty of people don't have the basic knowledge on the seven chakras. So this is what we're focusing on, and then I can further lead you to some other studies. I can further lead you to some other places where you can get that information. Okay, so going to go right into just reading what's going on or what this chakra is about. This is the realm of your higher brain function. So not only does the seventh chakra reflect our connection in a traditional sense with a higher power or universal energy, but that some people call God, but it also reflects the big picture sensibility. The impulse to understand who we are and where we fit into the broad scheme of things comes out of our seventh chakra. This is the place where we question the meaning of life, as well as the place where we learn and integrate what we learn into who we are. It is also where we receive inspiration and those sudden aha moments of understanding and a deep sense of connectedness to all life and the energy that connects to all life here or elsewhere. You may not feel it all the time, but when you get close to those flashes of being unified feeling, they come from your crown chakra. Your seventh chakra, also called your crown chakra, your spiritual chakra, or your thousand-petal lotus chakra, is also called your Saraswara in traditional Sanskrit. The word is usually translated as a thousand petals or petal spoke, referring to the thousand petals of a lotus flower that symbolically represents this chakra. And the reason why they use the lotus is because when the lotus is growing, the old leaves of the lotus falls off and you get new petals. So it is very symbolic in the likes of understanding and knowing the crown chakra and how it develops. Traditionally, this thousand-petaled lotus is pictured not as sitting upright on the top of your head, but inverted into the crown of the head. So it becomes part of the crown. The lotus is an ancient symbol of spiritual flowering because it floats on ponds and its roots are deeply extended far into the mud of the bottom of the pond. In the same way that the lotus is rooted into the mud, it produces a beautiful white flower on the surface of the water. So we must be rooted. We must be grounded to earth in this physical world to have the potential to blossom spiritually. So what that basically means is that we must be connected to our root chakra in order to be able to begin the process of flowering ourselves to become this lotus, of becoming this lotus. What I begin to notice in most of my studies with people who take chakra tests and things like that, what I'm noticing that more people seem to be connected to their spiritual chakras than they are to their earth chakras. Most people experience imbalance in their root chakra, their sacral chakra, their solar plexus, and their heart chakra, but when it comes to their spiritual chakras, like their throat chakra, they seem to be very vocal. They seem to be very strong in asserting themselves. With their third eye, they seem to hone in into their intuitive abilities. And then their crown chakra, they seem to have a spirituality or sense of spirituality or does practices that bring them on a spiritual level. So while all of that is happening, on, they seem to be more powerful in their spiritual chakras, they're off-centered when it comes to earth. So it's almost like people are really looking to detach themselves from the earthly issues that that they are a part of in their lives, and they seek solace or they seek refuge in their upper chakras. So as we talk about the crown chakra, we're going to talk about how spirituality can sometimes enable us to detach ourselves from the world, especially when we decide that the world is too wicked. The world is wicked and we don't want no parts of it, and we retreat to spirituality. And this kind of explains why you have some people who are religious fanatics, people who dive and sink into their religion, is because on some level, not only to connect to a higher power, not only to have love and live a better life, but also to disconnect themselves and separate themselves from the outside, from all of the evil, from all of the negativity, and for everything that takes them out of the space of having peace in their life. So we're going to talk about that. The crown chakra directs energy from a certain part of yourself, which is commonly called the higher self, and it embraces you with a protective light, making you feel secure and healthy. You will be open to accepting love and wisdom from your higher self, and you will be filled with the energy of a divine spirit. The spirit will guide you and inspire you with all the things that you should do. A balanced crown chakra will keep you spiritually connected to the spirit. And an imbalanced crown chakra will cause you to have many problems, such as spiritual cynicism or rigid belief system. So where you have a blockage is where you tend to have that cynical, that I don't believe in God, or typically atheists, people who consider themselves atheists, have no connection with the spirit, okay? Or it is said to have no connection with the spirit. I don't want to offend anybody out there who is an atheist, but it is said that there's no connection to the spirit, okay? The crown chakra increases your ability to form perceptions and analyze and absorb information into your system. You become more intelligent and aware. A balanced crown chakra allows you to be open-minded and to be able to answer questions and give you a broader understanding of everything, including the spirit. Okay? A balanced crown chakra will also causes the highest level of responsibility and empowerment and vitality in people. The possibilities to expand to infinity, and you will become more joyous and blissed of your own spirit. You will become one with the source and what makes you complete, thus finding your true essential self. Because I ask you, do you really know who you are? Are you really being who you are? Are you truly connected to your higher self, which is your true self, which is your crown, your crown chakra, okay? Imbalance of this chakra will also cause you to be materialistic, greedy, selfish, and domineering because you are not connecting to a higher power. And because you're not connecting to a higher power, everything is about self. So you would less likely be able to see people with empathy because technically, and this is how it was explained to me when I was learning to become a Reiki practitioner, your crown chakra is where most empaths reside. And an empath is someone who feels the way, feels what a person feels the way they feel it. So, for instance, if you're watching a movie, okay, and someone is dying in the movie, okay, and you start to cry, and you start to feel that whole, like, I don't know if anybody on the line has seen, there's one movie that's an extreme tearjerker. I think it's the Best Man 2, where she starts, where wife is ill. And that movie will bring me to tears automatically. I mean, I feel like I'm in the room. I feel like I'm there with them, you know, so that is that feeling, that empathy. That is putting yourself in the place of that individual, feeling that actual emotion. And so it is a part of your crown chakra, having that empathy. So empaths are people who are highly sensitive. They're finely tuned instruments when it comes to emotions. So they feel everything, sometimes to an extreme. And they are less apt to intellectualize things. They're more of a feeling person. So their intuition is filtered through how they experience the world, how their emotions allow them to experience the world. And that's typically what an empath is. Empath is not a bad thing. Empath is not a terrible thing. Empath is a wonderful, is a great thing when you know how to control it. And that means that the person who is dealing on that empathic level is connected to their crown chakra. Their crown chakra is open and vibrant. But when it is overactive is when you become so self-absorbed in someone else's issue that you don't even connect to your own, that your empathy is so strong that you can't function in daily life without being attached to someone else's situation. I know a young lady who is an empath, and she is a very powerful empath. She was riding the subway one day, and she was feeling everybody's energy. She was not only an empath, but she was an intuitive. She was almost like a medical intuitive. She can feel people's pain. She can feel people's ailments and illnesses and sicknesses. So she was on the train getting sick because she was feeling everybody's pain. And she was getting to the point where she had to get off the train. She had to get off, and she had to find out what was going on with her. She didn't quite understand what was going on. And so she knew she was an empath, but she didn't understand why she was feeling everybody's pain. And so when you have people that's like that, they have to learn how to channel these energies so that they don't absorb everyone all the time. And there's cleansing techniques that you can do in order to assist you with that when you are an empath. I actually have a series of meditations and techniques that I have learned and created some of my own to help me, because I was the type of person that felt everything from everyone. And I had to learn how to put boundaries around it. I had to learn when to feel something and when to allow myself to block it out. It's very, very, very challenging. But when you get to that place, you'll learn how to do that. So I'm going to talk about just the different things that are affiliated with our seventh chakra. So with the seventh chakra, it is affiliated with the color purple or white light. A lot of times in meditation, I'll say, close your eyes and connect to white light, you know, or connect to that violet or that purple. People say lavender. And between the third chakra, the third eye chakra, which is the sixth chakra, and the seventh chakra, sometimes people use indigo, sometimes people use purple for either one of them. So because they're so closely related, you know, it really is not a big, to me, it's not a big deal. Either you use purple for either one of them. They both represent the spiritual realm. There is no element affiliated with the crown chakra, as all the other chakras are affiliated with different elements. And the location of the crown chakra is at the top of your head. The associated anatomy for your crown chakra would be your skull, your brain, and your cerebral cortex. And also, as the pineal gland is affiliated with the third eye, which is sixth chakra, it is also affiliated with your crown chakra as well. Okay. And the associated
psychological and life issues that are related to a crown chakra is your true self, unity in all things, meaning we are one, knowledge and understanding, spirituality and connecting to a higher power, universal energy, seeing the big picture, and the soul, okay? And also just being having the ability to learn is affiliated with your crown chakra, okay? And so also with your crown chakra, it is also associated with your divinity, your guidance, enlightenment, harmony, your higher self, life force energy, and again, oneness with the universe and spirituality, wisdom. So, also affiliated, a color that's affiliated with your crown chakra is also gold. Okay, a lot of people associate gold with that. And many times you'll hear people say, we are one, or I am one. It is, you know, affiliated again with the crown chakra. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the line, and then we're going to talk about, I'm going to open up the line and see who's on the line and see if anyone has any questions before I start going into blockages and overages and explaining what those things are. So I'm going to begin with the caller with the last four digits of 2519. Welcome.
Hi, welcome.
Hey.
Hello?
Yes, who's calling?
Oh, this is Janelle out here in California. I actually did not even know I pressed it. I just kind of got in the queue. But I also want to say this show is wonderful, and I'm mad that I only get to hear part of it because I'll be at work, but I got to listen to the rest afterwards.
Thank you.
I'm learning. You're welcome. I'm learning a lot really fast, at least tonight, I was going to say, and it just totally makes sense. I've seen what you're talking about. I'm going to go meditate at work now. But how do I get out?
Well, I'm glad you're able to get so much information, and I urge you just outside of this show to get a book on the chakras. It's so vital for us to know about them. You know, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many people who are so disconnected from their lower chakras and more connected to their upper chakras, and a lot of that has to do with escapism, you know, not really wanting to deal with our own issues here. And it's hard because, you know, we feel like we do, but we have, and we're not going to live a perfect life here, but when you have disconnection with self, disconnection with your money, with your finances issues, or when you have issues with family members, you have issues with maintaining your balance of between yourself and between your physical self, it's just not the earth chakra. More than the earth chakra is the spiritual chakra. There are spiritual chakras more of an imagination about our lives than we actually live our own lives. So it is, you know, it's just something that we need to find between ourselves. And I urge everyone who's connected to me on the page to go on the chakra page and that chakra test. You can begin to know what I've noticed that most people tend to have low energy in their root, mainly in their root chakra.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
All right. Okay, so caller, I'm going to the next caller with the last four digits of 8376. Welcome. 8376, you're on the line. Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. I guess you just want to listen to the show. Caller with the last four digits of 4224. On the line. 4. You don't realize they're on the line. Okay, they got all that noise. They probably didn't even hear the beep. Okay, caller with the last four digits of 1331. Welcome. 1331. Your line is open.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? This answer. I'm pretty good to hear a reminder about this round of chakra. How it contains with imagination, being intuitive, and being connected, especially with other energy that's around at this point in time, rather to be a good vibration to a negative vibration. I have felt a while ago using that power to disconnect like an advanced state from the physical realm, which is, to me, if you ask me, since I'm quite aware of that, it's kind of impossible, because I love to be able to be felt and feel what's happening around me, rather than be like a block away or a couple blocks away in the radius. So by me knowing that, even though that I'm not fully charged and strengthened in that area, which I am finding myself getting strong in that area as they go on, that I'm able to step out of how, whatever realm I'm in at that moment and to come to them in the physical aspect and share on a vocal note and to help them see where they are at that moment. And to, by them seeing that, it's able for them to use their own power within themselves to pull themselves out their own situation. I find myself doing that quite often, regardless of where I may be at.
Let me ask you a question, brother. Do you feel that you are more connected to your spiritual chakras than you are your earth chakras?
I can say more. I really can't say which I feel more of, to be honest. I mean, like at this point, I can say that I'm balanced. It fluctuates. It depends on my state of mind at that moment, to be honest.
Okay. I think for a lot of people, I guess it depends on the situations that you're faced with. You tend to direct it to whatever the, like if you're dealing with a life situation, and in most cases where you have people who have addictions, they tend to find their addictions as their escapism, a place of refuge where they can go to, where they can forget about what's happening in the world. And sometimes that, even though addictions reside in our sacral chakra, it also affects us in our crown chakra when we decide to overly dedicate ourselves into a different place, where we detach ourselves from the world around us and become so involved in that particular state that we don't want to function anymore.
I'm almost about to get to my stop, but I don't know how long I'm going to be around with you, but I hope you can hear me clear.
Yes, I can hear you.
Honestly, I felt myself, like, at times doing that myself. Like, I believe, I put it like this, anything that we use as an escape goal is an addiction. Regardless of what it be, let me just get down into it. Rather be sex, rather be drinking, rather be smoking, rather be eating a lot, rather be daydreaming, rather be putting up a wall, as they say, opposing people while that's an addiction. All that can be stopped, broken, and managed. But far as like with me, I catch myself at times. A friend of mine that knows me tells me that, you need to stop drinking so much. And then my reply be, my reply be, I'm trying not to feel what's happening around me.
And that is true. I try not to feel this. I try not to feel that, you know, this situation. Or I try not to think about that and so forth.
Right.
And honestly, I ain't doing nothing but I'm hiding from myself when I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hiding from myself when I do that. And I'm working on breaking away from addictions that I do have that that takes me off my square. And I have to really focus on my lower chakras as well, because when you were speaking about, well, do you focus on, are you more powerful in your crown, your root, the third? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's me right there. And I do need to, I need to strengthen those other areas so I can be complete.
Yes. You know, where our earth chakras is where our illnesses really start to begin to happen. So when we start to neglect ourselves, and a lot of times it's because, you know, especially now with eating habits, we grew up a certain way, you know, we ate a certain way, we ate, you know, certain things that were our favorite foods. And so what happens is we become so involved in that habit of doing that, that This is where the beginning of illnesses begin. And if we don't find ourselves in a place of fine-tuning our diets and changing our diets to support the energy within our bodies, period, then our earth chakras are the first ones that will be affected by it, and as well as our third eye, because it starts to affect, the food takes an effect not just on the physical body itself, but on the brain and how the brain functions. And so what tends to happen is that those lower chakras seem to lose energy first. You know, when I noticed when my mother had pancreatic cancer, she created her cancer. She created her illness. And she created her illness from depression, which resides in the solar plexus. And I had mentioned this in the previous show. Her illness began in the solar plexus, which is related to our pancreas, our liver, our spleen. All those things that help remove toxins out the body. So when you become depressed, those toxins maintain and stay inside your body. When you become depressed, what happens when you become depressed? You eat differently. Some people stop eating. Some people eat more. Some people eat stuff that is not healthy for them. So then what happens is that food remains in the body and becomes toxins in the body, because now you're not eating healthy food. And what happens is then the liver gets to a place to say, okay, this person is depressed, this person is not eating properly, we can't clean this stuff out of our system. It's coming in so excessively. Not only that, the type of energy and hormones that is coming from the brain through the depression itself also assist in that. So then this person is depressed, and they go to the doctor and say, listen, I'm depressed. Okay, you know what, we're going to put you on some medication. So now we're going to put medication in the body where the toxins for the food and the toxins from the medication can now mix together. And now, you know, when I'm not on the medications, I'm still depressed. It's still not helping me. You know, even when I take the medications, I'm not exercising. So now we're not exercising. So now the liver is like, what the hell is going on? You really shut me down. And then what happens is tumors begin to develop, or illnesses begin to develop in this area, in the pancreatic area, in the liver area. So now you're creating your illness. Now you're helping the illness begin. Not only that, you're starting to lose energy in that chakra because you're not feeding it. You're not feeding it with healthy foods. You're not feeding it with connecting to yourself and rebuilding yourself. And it's hard, because when you tell a depressed person that they're depressed, half of the time they don't even realize that they're depressed, you know. But then it starts to, you start to lose that energy there. And then because you're losing the energy in your solar plexus, your root chakra is off, because your root chakra, you're not taking care of your physical self. So your root chakra is automatically off, because, like, listen, we're not taking care of our physical self. So we're not even thinking about our physical self now. We're thinking about our problem. We're not thinking about our physical self. We're not thinking about our family. We're not thinking about those who could help us. We're not reaching out, you know. And depression can come from money issues, which is a root chakra thing. People get depressed when they don't have money, or when money is a problem. So all those lower chakras can be affected. You know, food, eating foods that are toxic can also cause you to gain weight. Gaining weight can cause you to not be happy with your body. Then emotionally, you're not happy with yourself. And then you find yourself, if you're in a relationship, you stop being intimate with someone because now you don't feel good about your body. And so now it all triggers these lower, these earth chakras. Meanwhile, you know, your spiritual chakras are still, it's happening because you're thinking. Your third eye is allowing you to think. Your crown chakra is allowing you to think. Your throat chakra is allowing you to speak. Your heart chakra is, you know, helping you, but it's losing energy. It's because the love of self isn't there. So all your chakras can eventually be affected. And where it has happened in my mother, where she lost energy in her solar plexus, her sacral chakra lost energy, her root chakra lost energy, her third chakra was like, oh my God, what is going on down there? And she had a stroke. And so when she had a stroke, then it began to affect her heart chakra with her breathing. And it just was like all the energy centers was closing down because now there's crisis in the body and nothing is helping the body to recharge and get the energy. The food is not helping because it's eating garbage food. The pills ain't helping because now the pills are killing, you know, and now it's all these things are on this earth that this person is using that didn't connect to the true essence of who they are on this earth is now killing and losing all the energy with all the chakras, and now this person is dying. When a person is in a coma, their crown chakra is closed.
Right.
Totally closed.
Right.
So this is how important energy is, and people don't look at it because we can't see energy. We can't see air, but we know it's there. We can't feel air, but we know it's there. I mean, we can't see it, but we know it's there. We can feel it, but we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a lot of people know God, but can't see God. You know, so we have to absolutely look at our energy centers as something real and functioning in our bodies because it speaks to us on a daily basis. And so when you talk about your earth chakras being disconnected or not being rooted and your spiritual chakras, where are you? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a red flag. So definitely something to learn about. Definitely something to learn about. But thank you so much for calling. I'm going to open up the line to some more callers. I always appreciate your conversation when you do call. So thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, no problem, no problem.
All right, continue to listen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Caller with the last four digits, let's see, 0468. Welcome. 0468. Okay. We'll go to the next caller with the last four digits of 3206. Welcome. 3206.
Yes,
welcome.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I would like to share something really quick about absorbing other people's energy. Not long ago, I was in church. I came and I sat behind a couple. I did not see their face. I just knew they were a man and a woman. And within minutes of being there, this heaviness came upon me, and I started to cry. The choir started singing. I was crying. It was so much and so heavy, I had to go to the back room. I put myself together, you know, went back and sat right behind the couple. Again, the pastor started to preach. I could not stop crying quietly, but the heaviness was so, so strong. The only way I could express it was by crying. Again, went back to the room. I did this 3 times. On the 3rd time, I asked one of the ushers, could you please come here and pray for me? I am sitting behind this couple, and I feel this heaviness. I don't know what it is. The person prayed for me. I sat again. I was still crying, but I was strong. I was very strong. I felt so sorry for this couple. I never see them in my life. I never sat in that section before, right? At the end of the service, I turn around, and I just introduce myself. And I said to the woman, I'm assuming was the wife, and I said, can I just give you a hug? I said, I don't know what you are going through, but I want you to know God loves you. That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor called for prayer. They went and prayed. The person that prayed for me before, I was on my way to my car, and the person said to me, the people that were sitting in front of you, that you were crying and you didn't know why, well, they both have cancer. The wife wanted to leave the husband. So on top of the illness and some
right.
back issues, the woman wanted a divorce because she did not want to deal with him or some other issues. I wasn't given a specific, but that was, they told me that's probably the heaviness that you felt. I
right.
haven't seen the couple again, but that was the strongest, most, oh my goodness, the pain was, the heaviness was so much, it was almost like I could touch it. So I
wow.
think I am one of those, I think I am one of those people, and I don't know how to avoid it, not to absorb other people's problems, like if they don't even have to tell me they're going through something. Sometimes, not always, I can sense it. I don't say anything, but it's almost as if I can read it. You know what I mean? So
yes, you are an empath, and that's what I had mentioned. There are different levels of empathy. There are different levels of people who are empaths. There are people who are intuitive empaths that know innately what's going on. There are people who are emotional empaths that can feel people's emotions. There are people who are clear empathies, like clairvoyance is the sense to feel within ourselves the attitudes and emotions of others. Okay, when someone is a telepathic empath, is someone who knows thoughts as well as feelings, can hear other people's thoughts or sense other people's thoughts or feelings. Okay, and so there's so many levels of empath, and I'm going to put them in the page. There's someone who has spiritual empathy. So you have like a godlike ability where you can look into someone's eyes and you can feel or sense the other person's oneness with God. So there's people who have animal empathies. They can feel what goes on with animals, being able to understand animals. There's people who have sort of like energy empaths that can feel a person's aura, can feel their energy. So there's so many of them. I'm going to put them in the group just so that people can see what they are. But that is definitely you connecting to your higher self. That is your crown chakra open and wide and just being able to connect with so many people. What I'm going to do is I'm also going to put an empathy test inside the event page so that you can take a test to know what type of empathic person you are. But to me, you sound like a spiritual empath, an emotional empath that you can actually feel. And you don't even have to know exactly what it is that's going on with them, but you can feel some sense of not so much sadness, but you can feel their energy. You can feel their emotion. And like I said, you don't even necessarily have to know what is going on with them. So I will post that to the page probably after the event. But I'm just going to read a little bit more about empaths. And thank you so much for sharing that. Do you have any other questions before I go back to the reading?
No, you answer. But just one more thing and my last statement is, as you said, I sometimes forget about my own suffering, about my own issues, and focus is, you know, like, it's that bad. I never knew what it was, but now I have a better understanding of what it is. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I'm going to share with you right now just what you can do in order to help assist you, just to begin. For one, you do want to identify your empathic abilities. You want to relate to whether it is a natural or physical or emotional, spiritual, or healing, and all the ones I mentioned, and I'll post that to the page. You want to get a sense of the style of empath you are so that you can better cultivate the positive attributes of it so that you can be able to
work more on the positive end of it as opposed to absorbing so much of it that it depletes you and it drains you, because it can make you sick. You want to embrace your gift. So after you determine what your gift is, you want to write down the benefits that you might receive from that gift. What is going to benefit you as well as that other person so that you don't forget yourself, okay? And then you want to clarify your boundaries. What makes you weak? You want to make sure that whatever makes you weak, you don't find yourself going down that avenue. Okay, so when you are dealing with people, because there's a lot of things that will trigger your sensitivity. So you have to learn to be able to have a boundary so that you're not always connecting to that sensitive part to the point where it takes so much from you that you have to leave. Like you mentioned, you had to leave twice in order to gather yourself. You want to be able to build a boundary so that you can actually stay in the room. Now, I know some empaths who actually have to clear each room that they go into before they go into it so that they don't pick up on stray energies or energies that are out there. I know empaths, especially shamans, who actually do a ritual before they actually work with someone. They do a ritual, and I do it also as a Reiki practitioner. I do a ritual to cleanse my energy of previous things that are going on from outside energies. And I also do it after the client leaves, because you want to be consistently cleansing yourself of, or you want to be in a place of where you're not making yourself sick energetically by just connecting to too much. And then you want to start making a decision on how you want to use or when you want to channel these energies to work, because you can have control over them. Right now they have control over you because you don't quite understand how to build those boundaries. So you're always going to feel. And there's nothing wrong with, like I said, there's nothing wrong with being an empath. You just have to learn when to allow yourself to be open to those things and when to shut it down, because it can definitely, you can find yourself drained. When I was doing the Sacred Woman book in January, when we was wrapping up, I kept getting sick, and I didn't know why I was getting sick. And I was getting energetically sick first. I was feeling like I had no energy. At the end of the day, I started to become a little depressed. I didn't want to be attached to anybody because I was like, why am I getting sick? I don't understand. And so it was a domino effect. Other things started to happen. As I was energetically sick, I started to become physically sick. And what I started to realize is I was connecting myself to so many energies. Like sometimes I would come home from work and sit on the floor and cry for like 2 hours and don't know why the hell I was crying. But I was feeling the energy of the world and everything that was happening in the world. I was feeling like that whole thing that was happening with Ferguson was happening at that time. And I could literally hear the cries of the world, across the world. It was like clear audience. I could hear everything that's going on. And it was making me sick. And I would sit down on the floor and I would just start crying, like uncontrollably. And I had to learn how to gain some sense. I had to learn how to build boundaries because I was allowing myself to be so intertwined with what was going on in the world that I was not nurturing my own energy. I was not connecting to my own. I wasn't doing meditations. I wasn't eating properly. I was connecting and absorbing everything that was out there. And even though I didn't have a television in my house or anything, I still was seeing things on the news feed, on Facebook and social media and on the internet and then at work, and I was absorbing it. Because I'm an empath and a highly emotional person. So we have to learn how to build our own boundaries, and we have to learn how to know when to allow ourselves to absorb certain things and allow ourselves to get rid of other things, you know. Mm-hmm. So I hope that was a little bit helpful. I'm going to post some things at the end of the show to help you further work with that.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for calling. Okay, I'm going to take one more call before I go back into some of the text. Last 4 digits are 3125. I think I called on this number again, but 3125? Yes, okay. So I'm going to go back into some of the studying of our chakras, and we're going to talk about the things that are associated with 7th chakra blockages, the physical issues that are related to seventh chakra blockages. And some of them may sound familiar from the third eye chakra. Some of them are very familiar. Learning disabilities is one, and that also can teeter into the third eye chakra, the sixth chakra. Nervous system failure, headaches at the crown of the skull, brain tumors, coma, amnesia, senility or Alzheimer's disease, okay, so dementia also. The physiological issues related to a seventh chakra blockage are feelings of isolation, depression, lack of inspiration, spiritual crisis, or dark night of the soul, meaning that just no connection to a higher power. And so when you are having blockages in your crown chakra, your spiritual link or your connection is disconnected. And so as it mentioned about being disconnected and not related or not affiliated with your crown chakra, and those blockages can cause so many spiritual issues, not just spiritual issues, but just issues in general with connecting to who you are, who you truly are. So I'm just going to read a couple of more things about the crown chakra, okay? The crown chakra is connected to who you are. So who are you? This is probably a question that you have thought about periodically through the course of your life. But the question is never more relevant than when you are working in your seventh chakra. This is where all the parts of you come together. And some systems of belief, spirituality, is something separate from the physical and physical reality. And I'm going to say that again because a lot of people have this understanding, myself included at one time. Your spiritual self was always considered something separate from your physical self and your physical reality. And it's taught that way, especially when you are in religious groups and organizations. It is taught that your spirituality is separate from who you are as a person on this earth, especially when they tell you, when you're being told or you're being taught things like that if you love your body, you're worshiping your body and you're not worshiping God. You're separate of God. And so that used to confuse me a lot. When people say you're not your body, you're not supposed to worship your body, but then it says your body is a temple. So those kind of things used to confuse me in spirituality, and it was almost like the people who were teaching it didn't even was confused themselves, you know, because it doesn't make any sense. Why would we separate our spiritual selves from our physical selves and consider our physical selves a damnation that houses our spirit? It makes no sense to me. You know, the physical is what's housing, what's covering my spirit. My physical shell is nurturing and keeping my soul intact. If I had no physical right now, I'd be dead and I wouldn't be of this world. So how can we, you know, to connect us and keep us rooted to here on this earth, we need those things to work together. So I never understood that, you know. So, however, the concept of the chakras defies all these ideologies. From the first to the seventh chakra, each chakra represents an important part of who you are. The part that develops out of one below it, so that the kundalini energy reaches the crown chakra, you may experience a complete integration of all your parts, your instincts, your physical urges, your feelings, your relationships, your compassion, your communication with others, your intuition, and your place in the universe, which is your crown chakra, who you are in this universe. Meaning when you are outside of this body, you still are this spiritual entity. Who are you? Not just here, but outside of here, okay? Within your seventh chakra, you have the capacity to see all these parts together and integrate them into one being, one exciting, fascinating, and endlessly revealing who you truly are. So when you are able to integrate all those chakras together, you are able to see who you truly are in your complete essence. And that's it in a nutshell, basically. Okay? So it enhances you and it clarifies who you are. This is when you begin to know your purpose. This is when that aha goes off in your head, because now you're like, oh my gosh, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here. All these experiences, negative and positive, are leading me to a purpose and to tell me why I'm here. And this is why I tell folks it's so important to journal. It's so important to write down your dreams. It's so important to write down what you achieved after your meditation, because there's a purpose in everything that you do. And everything that you do unconsciously will tell you consciously what your purpose is here. Every person that you interact with, everything that you do is interconnected to you and your purpose, as you are connected to them and their purpose. This is why we say we are one. Because me bumping into that person in the hallway was purposeful. Because me turning that corner and hitting that car was purposeful. Because me losing my house, my car, and my family for me to hit rock bottom to see who I truly am was purposeful. Because why? Because it was to connect me to my higher self, even at the bottom. And we have to understand that. Everything is interconnected. That plant that you have in your house, growing or dying, is connected to your energy. If you are buying, for instance, like I did a fast a couple of years ago. And as I was purging and cleaning myself, I wasn't purging and cleaning my home. So my plants started to die. And my plants, and I didn't understand. I'm like, I'm fasting. I'm doing all these great things. But I wasn't cleansing my home the way I was cleansing my body. So how do I come in the door and I cleanse and fast myself and my home isn't as sacred as my physical is becoming? So now everything in my household was telling me, "This, you're not healing us. You're not healing us. You're healing you. You're not healing us. You're not cleaning us. You're not detoxing us. You're not saging us down. You're not taking care of us. You're taking care of just you." So now my world around me was telling me, hello, aha, wake up, wake up, wake up. You are connected to everything. Your plants are dying because you're not connecting to it. You have to connect to it. You have to help it live because it is in your environment of cleansing. It is part of you. So we are all interconnected. You know, we always wonder, why is this person in my life? I can't stand this person. This person is bringing me nothing but pain. Why are they in my life? Because there is a purpose. So when you ask yourself those questions, you ask yourself to examine, truly examine, and be honest, because part of understanding your purpose is being honest with yourself. Understanding your purpose is being true about who you are, what you do that is effed up, and what you do that is wonderful. And a lot of times, that escapism is not dealing with what's effed up, what's messed up. That escapism is more about pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. What pleasures me, what makes me feel good about me on a scale where it just covers up all the stuff that I really, truly need to deal with. So we have to connect to that because it is part of our purpose. It will bring us to an awakening, okay? Spirituality is easy for kids. Spiritual visions and perceptions seem to be unsurprising to them. However, a child's spirituality is delicate and a sacred thing. Children who grow up in a restrictive religious environment often have later difficulty with spirituality, especially if they reject their childhood religious experience and obtain negative memories from it. Conversely, children with absolutely no religious or spiritual experience may have a hard time opening up to spirituality later in life because it is foreign territory that has never had a chance to develop. While a parent has different priorities, The most important way to develop a child's seventh chakra in a healthy way is to never deny them from the reality of their own spiritual perceptions. And I'm going to read that again. Okay. While every parent has different priorities, the most important way to develop a child's seventh chakra is to develop in a healthy way is to never deny them the reality of their own perception. Very important. I think a lot of times when we were growing up, especially with me in particular and my siblings, we were raised in a church at young. So our spirituality or religious spiritual life was chosen for us. And when it is chosen for you, you don't develop your own sense and sensibility of what spirituality is because it is chosen for you. So now you are forced. It's almost like, you know, you're at home and all we got is grits in the cabinet. Okay? So you're forced to eat grits every day, all the time. You don't know anything else because all you know is grits. This is all you've been forced to eat because we don't want nothing else in here. We just want grits. And so now you grow up and all you want is grits. But then you see other people eating other stuff and you're like, well, damn, that looks good. All I'm eating is this and they eating that. So now all of a sudden you're like, I don't want these grits no more. They don't do nothing for me. I don't like them. I'm sick of them. I've been eating them all my life. So now you want to eat some pancakes and some bacon and some eggs. And you want some syrup and you want a lot of what everybody else got. So now you start to abandon those grits. And you start to taste everything and now you start to wake up, your taste buds wake up and all of a sudden things just start to wake up for you like, wow, I've been missing out. I've been eating grits all this time. It's almost the same thing when you're dealing with when you're raised in a certain religion and this is all you know as a child. And when you start to get in your adolescence years and you start to explore the world a little bit more separate from your parents, you start to venture out away from your parents more often, you start to learn other things. You start to question now. Like you question the grits. Why I got to eat grits? I don't like these grits. Now you're starting to question, okay, what is this about God and Jesus and the Bible and the religion and the Quran and or the Catholicism? What's all this about? You know what I mean? Because now you're being exposed to other stuff. So now you start to question what is really going on and you start to question who you are. That is your crown chakra being activated. That is your crown chakra being activated. And we have to start listening. And this is why some people, as adolescents and teenagers, decide they don't want to go to church no more. They don't want to deal with religion anymore. Because now they're like, wait a minute, I got questions. You know, you done force-fed me this stuff all this time, and I ate it because that's all I had. That's all you was giving me. Now I'm experiencing the world, and now I'm eating other stuff. And now I'm liking the way it eats, and now I want to explore other things. And this is what happens when we start to wake up. And sometimes it happens later on for some people. For some people, it has to happen through an experience. It has to happen through a trauma. And sometimes, in a sense, the spiritual trauma, the spiritual awakening opens up that trauma so that you can be able to say, hey, wait a minute, something ain't right about this here that you're telling me. This story you're telling me don't sound right to me. I need to go investigate. Now you want to investigate. You know, so that's that spiritual link. The crown chakra encompasses our connection both to our own spirituality and to a universal spirit that exists within and beyond us. The seventh chakra is like a door that opens that welcomes the God in you, the universal life force, or whatever you call or you seek as a higher power. Okay? You call it whatever you want to call it. You envision it the way it works for you, but it makes sense all the time, to you, okay? We are all part of something bigger, and we join with this in greater energy with our seventh chakra. We send out who we are to this door of the universe, and it sends it back in. So when we send something to the universe, and we always say this, when you send something out to the universe, you will get it back, and absolutely. So if you send questions out to the universe, you get the answers back. You will always get your purpose back. If you ask what your purpose is, you will get that answer back. We are never alone because of this sacred link, okay? But for those who don't spend much energy on spiritual pursuits or never raised in a religious tradition, it is kind of difficult for them to grasp this concept. And see, I say this because sometimes, you know, and in some of these conscious communities, you have a lot of people that still talk about Christianity as if they were still in that life. And many times you have people who have converted from Christianity out of a negative, or any religion, out of a negative experience. So automatically there's some anger attached to it. And so when you start to awaken, you start to awaken and be like, you know what, this is better than that because this had me captive. And so you become angry with it. But what we don't realize is those experiences is a gateway to open you up to a higher level of consciousness. And there are levels to this thing. And I always tell people, there are levels to this thing. And where you start out in one direction will lead you into another direction. So you can't be mad. And I know for certain, I cannot be mad through my Christianity journey because it helped me open those questions of, what does this really mean? What is this all about? There's got to be something else. I've got to explore this. I've got to go into that. And it opened that gate. So I can't be mad at it. And I can't be mad at the people who still are a part of that because that is their experience to opening up greater endeavors. And I'm not saying that it's wrong. It may be right for them. What was right for me was something else. And I respect them all the same because I was there. I've experienced it. And because I've experienced something else doesn't make me greater than them. It doesn't make me better than them. It doesn't make me more powerful than them. It just makes me in a different place of where they are. And because when you work with the crown chakra, you can, when you have that crown chakra open, you are connected to the God in you. That when you look at somebody who has those differences, then you don't look at them with the side eye. You don't look at them with criticism. You don't look at them with disrespect. You look at them with empathy and understanding and knowing that everybody's purpose is uniquely catered to who they are. No matter if I bumped you in the hallway and it was purposeful for me to bump you, but your purpose is still your purpose. Okay? So we have to understand that. And I see that happening a lot in the conscious community or the awakened community or whatever they want to call it. There's just an evolution of another religion. You're just evolving from the place where you were to another place. And we still haven't gotten to that place of saying, pointing fingers at one another and say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And this is a problem that's happening all over because everybody is operating from a selfish standpoint and still talking about, my crown chakra is open, my third eye is open. Is it really? Do you really understand that? Do you really grasp that concept, especially if you're still pointing fingers at the next person telling them that what they believe is wrong? We have to think about that. So, back to some of the, I'm going to open up the callers, and we have a little bit more time, but I am going to open up some of the callers and see if there are any questions from the folks out there. So I'm going to open up the caller with the last four digits. I'm going to try this number again, 0468. Welcome. Hello? Okay, I guess they still don't want to speak. Let's try another caller with the last four digits of, and I think I called this one before too, 0992. 0992.
Oh. Greetings. You hear me?
Yes, I'm
greetings.
Hello?
Yes, I hear
hello?
You.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm driving listening to you.
I was like, it's like your show is so profound. My name is Washina Woodard. I'm actually I'm a sun gazer. And what you just said, like you just automatically bump into someone. I was on one of my friends looking at her page. I think her name is Ava. And I seen your blog post. I was like, chakras. Okay, I was like, I need to go ahead and check this out. So then I looked at the link. I was like, oh, Jeffrey's on there. Bahena's on there. I was like, oh, okay. All right. All the people know that. So I was like, I got to listen to it now. But it's so profound. I'm like, hey, everybody slipped up. So it's like, it's so profound what you're saying, because I'm actually an empath myself, and it's just like, it was hard for me to find somebody that understood exactly what I was going through and trying to explain what I, you know, feel, because all the properties of an empath that you explain, I have, it's like a lot of it, I'm dealing with it on a daily basis to the point where, because I'm a massage therapist and I'm touching people's energy fields, moving energy and all that stuff. But what I find is anytime the chakras are off, it creates like an empty space within the system. And I'm in that system healing them, and they, it's like I felt them pulling my essence. And then I'm like, I didn't understand how to balance it until just recently. It's like they were pulling my energy from my DNTN. So I started getting acupuncture treatments just to, you know, circulate that energy back. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you are just so talented. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's a lot of people that need to hear this show. I'm going to just go ahead. Once I get home, I'm going to go ahead and post it. But when you were talking about, like, the crown chakra and your spiritual, knowing your spiritual self, like, I was just recently, told by my master teacher, his name is Master Mitchell Gibson, that my spiritual mother was the goddess Aset. So I was just like, oh my gosh, when you said to start connecting to your spiritual self, so it's just like I have to start connecting to the goddess Aset, because that's my spiritual self. And it's just like once the crown chakra, like you were saying, once it's activated, is basically you're bringing heaven on earth. You're bringing that dimensional self of, you know, like the goddess or gods, whoever you're representing here on earth, you're bringing that, making that connection here. Like, it's just like you just have to get that connection going. And then it's just like he made a book. He just wrote a book recently on how to contact and how to know who your spiritual parents is. I just ordered it today from his website. But it's just like, there's so much stuff going on in this world right now to the point where it really doesn't make any sense. And it's like I always post them, like, these spirits out here are not loyal. Like, usually when I go out, I play, like, his spirit attachment removal CD, because people, you know, you could just be walking down the street and spirits start attaching to you and you don't even know what's going on. And just like that lady to call it before, you know, she was sitting in that auric field. I was just like, oh, my gosh. I was like, I see why all my life I spent my life being in, like, a bubble. I'm a Cancer, too, so it's just like I kind of isolated myself just so that I wouldn't feel that. So I was just like, oh, my God. But I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for the show. It's been truly a blessing.
Thank you. You called. I'm thankful that we have the same family connection.
Really?
What? I mean, just with you know, Bayina. Bayina is my spiritual sister. I love her. She is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I know who that is.
But
yes,
thank you so
I
much
love it. I love it.
And continue to listen. There's a lot more to come.
I'm listening because it's just like there's nobody really talking like you're talking right now. There's just few people. I know Matthew Yao has his thing. I know, you know, Sirius Brother has his thing. I know you have your thing. Miss Blue has her thing. But it's like, you know, you have to keep going. And then it's just like Master Gibson has all this stuff to help you with these tools. But it's just your Kundalini is not moving. It's like, it's just like, you're making yourself sink. That seventh chakra, that root chakra, that has to be moving. It's just like, you can't go where you need to go in life, because it's just like, it's stuck. So if you want, you're trying to get the next house, the next this, the next that. If your root chakra is blocked, if all these other chakras are off, you can't manifest your love life. If you're if it's off. I was just like, I was having issues with my stuff. It's just like all my energies was off. So it's just like when a guy would come up to me, it would be like a repost because I had too much earth energy. So I had on Master Gibson's website, he has a Harmony CD. It started moving stuff to the point where I knew that the Harmony CD was working because it's just like I called somebody that I really wasn't trying to forgive for years, and I had a forgiveness moment when my chakras was aligned. I was just like, wow. Wow. So it's just like everything has to be in balance. If you're not in balance, it's just like you're just walking around taking up energy from everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to leave y'all. Thank you so
much. Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling, sister, and continue to listen in.
All right. Peace.
Alright, that was beautiful. I'm going to call in the caller with the last four digits. Let me see who I haven't called yet because I'm looking in the queue and there's so many callers in queue. Let's see, 4224. Welcome, 4224.
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm just listening in because I'm at work and I work in a block pretty loud. So I love the show. I'm just signing in.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling, brother. Okay. Right. All right. So it's amazing that so many people can understand and relate to the crown chakra and just this chakra, the upper chakras in general. As I mentioned, it seems like people are so much more connected to that. And I think because of this whole spirituality and this religious upbringing, it seems to be the most that people really concentrate on outside of their daily life. And it seems like people are more focused on trying to get their spirituality in check and get them in order. And it's really it is really complicated. And like the sister said, you got to have your root chakra together before you can even get to the higher levels. You can't go from 0 to 100 straight there. You have to be able to gradually get yourself in a place and allowing not only just the kundalini, but opening that crown chakra so that you can know your purpose. That is where you know, where you begin to know what your purpose is when you start to open that crown chakra, when you start to question everything around you, when you start to look and you see things and you connect into things and you can't explain why. These are those moments that are supposed to make you wake up and say, damn, what is that all about? And once you start questioning those things, it just opens up higher realms of understanding. Okay, so that is the connection of the crown chakra as it is to religion. So in as much as people want to say that religion is bad and you shouldn't follow it, it is a starting point, in my opinion. It is a starting point. I think where in a case where you have someone who is an atheist, and I've dated someone who is an atheist, someone for 9 years just didn't believe in anything higher than self. And so in that instance, I had to understand that because this person doesn't have any religious or spiritual identification, they are more prone to stay in that area because it is comfortable for them, for one. For two, they don't get it. Some of them don't get it. So I can't knock religion, and I can't knock Christianity or Islam, and I can't knock Catholicism and all these other religious sects. I can't knock them because they are for the levels of the mind state. They're for the levels of the people who need that. And it also opens up the gates for a possibility for something higher in some cases. So whereas you have someone who is an atheist who doesn't have that connection at all and will more likely not to
achieve that connection and not fully understand purpose and what's going on in their life. I can tell you the person that I had dated who was an atheist blamed the world for everything that they were going through rather than seeing the purpose behind it. Didn't quite understand the connection as to some things happen for a reason. Just didn't get it. Didn't have that concept. Didn't have that understanding. So religion, having religion is not a negative thing because, like I said, it to me is a portal. It's a gateway to opening up different areas. If you choose to stay in that particular area and not grow at all, that's another thing, but it is a gateway into another place. And I could say that by experience, had I not had any experience in eating those grits, quote-unquote, and getting sick of those grits, then I would have never opened myself up to eating those pancakes and those eggs and those bacon, even though I don't eat that. But that's the analogy that I'm trying to bring to you. The seventh chakra also governs your ability to learn. All knowledge takes you into yourself, comes through the crown chakra. It also reflects the state of your cerebral cortex. Know what they say, never stop learning to energize this chakra. Keep learning. When learning stops, this chakra falters. Unfortunately for most people, living in an active and interactive life, learning never stops. Because knowledge isn't just about taking a class or learning how to play an instrument. It is going back to get your degree. It is about engaging with the world and discovering what that means for you and who you are becoming at that moment. So when you are learning something, I mean, I can honestly say it feels good to learn. To me, I love to learn new things. I love to discover new things. And when I'm not learning, I'm not triggering and stimulating my mind. And for many of us, we are so connected to the internet and we're so connected to social media and things like that. I say myself, I'm always on it because this is my business. This is what I do. This is where I connect to the most people. And the beautiful thing about having social media is being able to connect to people who don't even live in close proximity to you. As far as coming from a business standpoint, I wouldn't even have the large base business that I have with people if I wasn't able to connect to other people from other parts of the United States through social media. But in that, with that being said, I've learned so much about people, the human psyche, and how social media is an interactive journal of sorts where people journal and chronicle their life. And when someone's having a crisis, it's there. When someone is having an exciting life event, it's there. When someone is angry, it's there. When someone disappears, you don't see them. You wonder. You know, so it is a connection to us all becoming one through this one vehicle, you know. And some people see it as negative. I see it as a big positive, interactive connection making us all one. And so my ability to be able to learn more from other people and gain understanding is sparked every single day, not just on social media, but just in dealing with people at work, learning and understanding personalities, learning and understanding what purpose does this person have, as I mentioned before, in my life. Why is this person in my life? Why is this person crossing my path? Questioning those things everywhere you go, you know. So when you are conscious, your seventh chakra is at work. In this way, the seventh chakra encompasses a wide range of thought, from philosophical musing to simply just being awake. When you are unconscious, such as while you are sleeping, which is the unconscious mind, if you faint, if you are in a coma, your seventh chakra closes. But you don't necessarily have to be asleep or to be walking through this world in an unconscious state. Wake up to your life and live with an intention and encouragement, and it will open again. So some people are walking, sleepwalking, basically, walking through life totally unconscious, totally unaware of their presence here on earth, meaning what their purpose is. There's many people walking around like that. Don't know why they're here, don't feel connected, don't feel like they belong here. It's because they don't know their purpose. They don't know where they're going, you know. And so that's the unfortunate part. The crown chakra is the seat of our soul, okay? Not everyone buys into the idea that our bodies have a soul, something apart from our physical body that survives even after we die. But for those with open seventh chakra, they know that the presence of their soul is self-evident. You can feel it. For those who have been around someone who has died, or you may have sensed or sensed that the soul is leaving the body, or that the person took their last breath, is that connection to that seventh chakra. While there is no proven existence of the soul, many people believe that the soul is the part of you that lives within your body and not part of your body, when you cannot see it on an x-ray or even measure it with a pendulum. The presence of life force energy is within you, imprinted in your individual signature, but it also within the signature of the universe as you are contractually joined or contractually signed, meaning sacred contracts. And I used to talk about this a lot, and I've learned a lot about sacred contracts and people being connected to your life for a purpose, and that's what I was mentioning earlier. And other than putting it in terms of sacred contracts, I put it in the terms of us all being interconnected. But it is said that before you come here, you make a contract and an agreement with the universe to choose your life, your purpose, and what you're going to come here for. And for some instances, it is believed that some people come to this earth, and this is for those who have that question, well, why do people come here and they don't live long and they die? Well, it is said that they have contracted themselves to come here for a specific purpose. And even if it is to come here for 5 minutes, there is a purpose. So, for instance, the young brother that was killed in Baltimore, Freddie Gray, I believe his name was, and the only reason why I don't know his name that well is because I don't follow the news very much. I try not to in a lot of instances. But a Freddie Gray who just recently passed, and people may not like what I say, but my understanding of contracts and what I've learned, and I'm not going to say whether they're absolute truth or not, but I'm going to tell you from my perspective, of people who come here like himself and die for a greater purpose is to shift and change things that are happening here. These are contracts that are created and made before that person comes here, when that person decides, this is the life that I'm going to embody when I come down here, to make a greater statement. And maybe not so much in those words, but in the context, because everything has a purpose and a reason. I do believe that the same with Michael Brown. I do believe the same thing with Eric Gardner. I do believe the same thing with Oscar Grant. I do believe the same thing with Sean Bell. I do believe the same thing with even some of those who are still alive and had to go through suffering in order to make change in this world, like the Central Park Five and the injustices that came from that. There is a purpose for all of that to go down. And I know people like, that's a stretch that I'm coming from. But in all reality, I look at everything that happens in this world, from the earthquakes to the volcanoes to the hurricanes to the tornadoes and all that stuff, as purpose. Creating new grounds, creating awakening people. With every person that passes away in our community that is either killed by the police or killed by some kind of unjust situation, it awakens more of us. You can't say that without a doubt that across the country people get more and more pissed. And even though getting pissed is not just the only thing that that some of us believe that should happen, but we have to understand the dynamic of why these things are happening, and it is to trigger an awakening. There is a purpose behind it, where you have 20 people that awaken because of this situation. Another situation happens, and you have another 20 more people that awaken from another situation. And then you have 20 more people awakening from another situation. And then you have 20 more. So it just goes on and on and on. There is a purpose for everything. There is a purpose for everything that happens. No, we don't like the way this person got killed by the police, but there was a purpose and a reason for it. There is time for a shift and an awakening. It's time for people to wake the hell up and stop walking around here in this fake illusion of what this world isn't. Wake up to your true self. And that's basically, that's just my take on it. So there is a bigger picture. There's a bigger thing happening here. And it supersedes us, but it has to do with us. And it has to do with our interconnection with the universe. This is the chosen life that we decided. You know, I heard a little kid say one time, and she was really upset because she was being teased in school. She was being teased by all her friends, and there was people who didn't want to play with her. And her mother asked her why was she crying. And she said she was upset because there was one little girl that didn't want to play with her, one little girl that she liked and didn't want to play with her. And she said, well, why doesn't this little girl want to play with you? And the little girl said, because I'm black. And so the mother was so hurt behind that, as any person hearing that would have been. I was hurt hearing it too. And then the little girl said that why does she have to be black? Why did she have to be black? Why did she come to this earth, and why did she have to be black? And the mother asked her, why you asked that question? She said, because they hate us. There is a purpose. There is a reason. There is a greater purpose beyond our earthly understanding. And I can't explain it because I have had those same questions. But what I come to understand and what I come to work with is my purpose. Outside of everything else that is going on here with the people, our people of color, black people on this earth, I have to look at my purpose first. What is my purpose in the greater scheme of all this stuff that is going on? What am I going to take from all this stuff that is going on here on this earth, and what am I going to do with it? How am I going to be living in my purpose by creating a change? Is it my purpose to create a change? Is it my purpose to do something about what is happening? And we have to ask ourselves those questions rather than sitting back and being angry about what is going on. What does this have to do with me? Because I'm black? Okay. So what does it have to do with me again, I say? Because what? What does it have to do with me? Ask yourself these questions, and what can I do about it? What is my purpose, first of all, before I can take action, before I can go out there and jump on somebody's car, before I can go out there and tear up somebody's store, before I can go out, I have to ask myself, what is the purpose? So it kind of was a sad thing for that little girl to ask that question, but I ask that question too all the time. But see, when you're operating in your seventh chakra, you have to look at it from a bigger picture standpoint. What is the bigger message being sent here? We have to look at that. So I'm going to begin to wrap up the show, and we're going to come back with part two of the crown chakra, because there's so much more that I didn't even touch yet, and I do want to go back into giving you more information about it. What I will tell you and what I will post to the event page is just some things that you can do in order to connect to some meditation techniques that you can do to connect to your crown chakra. As you connect to your higher self, it is effective in clearing your crown chakra all the time. Meditating and envisioning a golden bright light helps. Soft light reconnects you to the world around you and your spirit self. I'm going to post that into the page, just a technique that you can do. You also want to connect, if you're someone who collects crystals and stones, you want to start to pick up the following crystals that will assist you. Amethyst,
ametrine, angelite, Botswana agate, and I will post these to the page. So if you can't get them down, I will post them. Citrine is great, awesome. I use citrine every day. Clear quartz is number one. It clears all your chakras, charges them, and it is amplifies any crystal that you have. So if you hold a clear quartz and you hold a rose quartz in your hand, it will amplify the love of that rose quartz, okay? It amplifies every crystal, and it never needs clearing, okay? A diamond or a Herkimer diamond, which I have, which is another awesome, helps you connect to your higher self and just that extraterrestrial self. Gold, leopard skin jasper, lepidolite, which is really good, magnesite, rutilated quartz, another one, awesome, awesome stone. Selenite is great. Selenite is a protective crystal as well. It is, and I'll post that to the page. That's one you want to have. I typically have them at my doors in my house, where the entry points of my doors, so that negative energies are blocked. Sugarlite, tanzanite, white agite, and white sapphire. And I will post those to the page. The herbs that you want to absolutely use for the crown chakra, and I will repeat this in part two as well. Number one herb that I drink and I picked up, Gotu Kola. That is G-O-T-U Kola, K-O-L-A. That is a brain, a stimulant that will help regenerate your mind, helping you remember, helping you have clarity. It is something that should be used for folks who are going through senility or senile, people who are working, who have Alzheimer's disease, really should be drinking this herb. I have it, and it is sold. You can find it at any wellness place. Lavender oil or lavender and lotus. Okay, so we want to make sure that we eat foods that herbs that will energize our body and heal any imbalances in the chakra, in the crown chakra, and all the chakras for that matter. Okay, so we're going to conclude the show next week. We're going to talk more about our crown chakra. We're going to get into, in further shows going forward, we're going to talk about, we've discussed the Kundalini in brief, but I'm actually going to do an entire show based on the Kundalini. We're also going to talk about the key of life. I'm going to explain that and what that has to do with the chakras as well, because they're all interrelated. So I hope you guys will join me. I thank you all again for calling. If any of you have any questions, please direct them to the event page. And then maybe next week when we start the next show, we can open up the discussion based on those questions. I would love to get lots of your feedback in relation to these shows. Have I been helpful? Is there something I missed? Is there something you didn't like what I said? Tell me it all. I want to know. Okay, so that way I can bring some more quality shows to you guys and give you exactly what it is that you're looking for, and hopefully I can be able to do that. So again, I thank you so much, and have a good evening. Namaste.
You're listening to The Sound.